Hello and welcome to the September 2022 episode of Gloucester's Current Conversations podcast. I'm Quentin Shepherd with Gloucester's Community Engagement and Public Information Department, and I'm your host for today. Today we're joined by Robert Kelly, Gloucester's Museums Coordinator, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about all of the exciting activities that the museum is working on and sponsoring, and going to tell you a little bit more about the museum, which is a gem just sitting right there in the next to the court circle. So we encourage you to check it out. And I think after you hear all of this stuff Robert tells you today, you'll definitely want to pay it a visit. So Robert, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Quentin, it's great to be with you and with all the listeners. It definitely is an exciting time at the Gloucester Museum of History, and I'm excited to talk to you a little bit about kind of where we've been and where we are and where we're going.
Sounds great. Maybe if we can kind of start out by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to be the museum's coordinator.
Sure. I was actually born in Maryland, so don't hold that against me. my family is from the area. My mom was born and raised in Newport News, and my dad's from Norfolk, and all my family is here locally. I had some family at Gloucester Point, actually, when I was growing up. So I'm not a stranger to Gloucester County, and have always enjoyed visiting the county and its history. I went to Norfolk Christian High School, graduated from there, and then went on to Old Dominion, and I studied history. Took me a while to figure out what to do with my degree, and you know, I've found a very nice home in the museum world, and I'm really passionate about public history, museums, and education. Prior to coming on board in Gloucester, I was at Fort Monroe for, gosh, almost 10 years, serving in various roles there as in the Historic Preservation Department, and then ultimately serving, gosh, 5 or 6 years as the Casemate Museum Historian. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And in late 2019, early 2020, an opportunity to kind of take the helm of a wonderful institution, the Gloucester Museum of History, that opportunity kind of presented itself. And you know, here I am, and I'm really, really excited to be in Gloucester. I started in January 2020, and then, gosh, 6 weeks later was COVID. So it was an interesting time to begin my time here in Gloucester. But I'm really, really enjoying my time here. A lot of great people and a lot of wonderful history. A lot of work to do.
It's been an interesting time for sure. I started 1 month before you did. And it's definitely was a game changer. But even though, you know, we faced adversity for several years, you've really implemented a lot of great things in the museum and have kind of given it a vision. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done since you've been here and a little bit about where you see the museum as we move forward?
Absolutely. I think I would be remiss if I didn't first just stop and recognize the amazing work and amazing people that came before me that really enabled the museum to be where it is today. And I think one of the folks that certainly comes to mind is Betty Jean Deal, the former director. She was here for many, many years. And, you know, without her leadership and her passion, I'm not sure there would be a museum today. So, you know, when I came on early on, I recognized the importance of this being a community museum, and we should never forget that as an institution. So kind of the initiatives that we've put forth since I came on board have really been to just showcase the history, showcase this building. I mean, the museum is located in a structure from 1770, an original historic tavern. I mean, how cool is that? So it's important to, again, recognize the work that's been done, but also to begin think about where we can go with the future. A couple of the exhibits that we were able to unveil early on, both in 2020 and 21, and then more recently this year, were focusing on areas in the museum where some of our interpretation was a little bit lacking. For instance, there was a little bit of a void with African-American history, with women's history, and also the watermen's or commercial fishing history that is so important to our community. So to address that, one of the earliest exhibits we did in 2021 was the T.C. Walker mural exhibit, I'll call it. And this was to interpret the 10 scenes from the T.C. Walker mural on Main Street. Just a wonderful exhibit, wonderful experience putting that together. We also moved forward more recently with an exhibit about the Gloucester Agricultural and Industrial School. This was an African-American high school down in the Cappahoosick section of the county, which opened in the 1880s, you know, right in the thick of Jim Crow. An amazing story of perseverance of the African-American and white community in Gloucester working together to create a high school, a boarding school for African-American students. Unfortunately, the Depression in 1933 caused the school to suddenly close. So the buildings fell into disrepair and are no longer standing. And again, this story, in my opinion, was beginning to be lost. And it was so important that we remember this story. So we opened up an exhibit earlier this year that features the 300-pound, 130-year-old bronze school bell, the only tangible object left from the Gloucester Agricultural Industrial School. Our exhibit features this bell. It's on loan to us here at the museum, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful artifact that really begins to kind of bring this story to life. And then the third exhibit I'll briefly share is something that we're actually opening on September 10th. It's an exhibit about Camp Burke's Mill Pond. This is a Girl Scout camp that is in the county. It's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And just kind of in the spirit of trying to bring some women's history into the museum, it's been a wonderful partnership. We're going to open up that exhibit in about a week, and it's just going to tell some wonderful stories. Those are kind of three of the exhibits that we've opened up. Just a lot of excitement, and just the other aspect, I think, of what we're trying to do here is just to make sure that we are presenting a very professional, forthright, honest, inclusive story and interpretation of our county. So that's been another, I think, real mission for me and for our volunteers, is to just try and tell our stories from our county, our good stories, our bad stories, you know, just tell our history in an open, honest way in an inviting and safe environment, this museum. So that's really our goal, and that's my goal.
And just to let everybody know, Robert gave our department a special personalized tour recently of the museum, and got to see the bell from the school that Robert referred to, and so many of these other exhibits. And it's just incredible. You know, as somebody who grew up in Gloucester, born and raised here, you know, I've heard stories of all of these different places, such as the ice skating rink off of 14 by the mill, and so many of these places that, you know, if you didn't hear the stories about it, you wouldn't know. But as soon as you walk into the museum, it's like taking a step back in history and really kind of being able to relive some of the things that our ancestors enjoyed here in the past. So definitely encourage everybody to, please, if you haven't had a chance to visit the museum, to go by. It's you know, easy to get into. The hours are 11 to 3, Mondays through Saturdays. And Robert, the museum is really supported a lot by volunteers. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your volunteers and if you're welcoming new volunteers?
Absolutely. You know, without the museum's dedicated volunteers, again, I'm not exactly sure where we'd be today. They assist us in so many ways. I mean, we're open 6 days a week. And, you know, I'm here some days, sometimes 6 days a week, but I try to work 5 days a week. So again, we really count on our volunteers to allow us to stay open to serve the community. Currently, we have about 25 volunteers, including two interns, which that's another program which we've created, and it's been very successful, is looking for younger students who may be looking to work in the museum or history field. And we've been really blessed to have some wonderful interns. But our volunteers, they help with a vast majority of things, from kind of behind the scenes work, doing research, to actually manning the welcome desk here at the museum. You know, our goal here in the county is to always have, visitor services, I should say, is our goal. And that always really comes first. So, when we can have a volunteer actually welcoming, our guests, that's really, really important. And again, so many of our volunteers, almost, gosh, probably 80 or 90% of them were born in the county or have lived here for the majority of their life. So just coming back to what you mentioned earlier, stories are just so important in museums. And I think it really adds a very nice flavor to the visitor experience when you have volunteers that can just share genuine stories with our visitors, stories of their youth, stories of the past, stories about, people and places in the county. And it just adds a wonderful dynamic to our visitor experience.
It sure does. And every single volunteer I've encountered greets you with a smile and a wealth full of information. So we definitely appreciate all the hours that they give to the community and to the museum. Robert, there's so much more to the museum also other than what's inside the museum walls. As museum coordinator, you host a lot of different events throughout the year to incorporate history into the community. I know one of the upcoming things that you're going to be doing is the Fire, Smokes, and Muskets October 1st through the 2nd. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Yeah, so Fire, Smoke, and Muskets October 1 and 2 will actually be commemorating we will be commemorating the local Battle of the Hook. This was the Revolutionary War battle, which took place in Gloucester County in 1781. It was the largest cavalry battle during the American Revolution, and it happened right here in our backyard. So our Living History program has really developed over the last couple of years, and we will be doing it again October 1 and 2. That's a Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 3. And that event's really exciting for me because we end up with about 40 reenactors and living historians. There are actual cannon and musket. Yes, I said cannon and musket firing demonstrations. So we create a lot of noise and a lot of smoke on Main Street. But this fall, we're actually also hosting Mark Schneider. He is a professional historian and interpreter at the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. His 9-to-5 job is interpreting Lafayette on Duke of Gloucester Street, but he will actually be with us as portraying Bloody Band Tarleton. Tarleton was the British cavalry commander, and Mark will do a costume shift a couple times during the day. He also has a Luzon's Legion soldier's uniform. The Luzon's Legion was the French cavalry, the Allied cavalry that served with the American forces. So Mark Schneider will be here portraying two actual historic figures that were very important during this Battle of the Hook. So it's just a wonderful time. It's really geared towards families. We have opportunities, scavenger hunts, and we have opportunities for visitors to engage with the interpreters. Last year we had about 300 people come out. So we're really looking forward to having folks. This event takes place right at the museum. We have, folks camping out in front of the museum. All the cannon and musket firing demonstrations are held in a large field directly behind the museum. We'll have the museum fully staffed. It's just a wonderful weekend, and we always have a lot of folks come out. It's just, one example of just some, newer programs that we're trying to develop to, really bring or really make the museum accessible throughout the community. I'm a big believer in a museum not just being, four walls in a room. I mean, we want to actually, take the museum out of the museum and provide events and opportunities and educational experiences that are memorable and that are engaging and doing this in an environment that is not just inside our building. So it's just a really fun activity. And I hope that folks will come out on October 1 and 2, Saturday and Sunday, to see history in action.
Definitely. It always is a very exciting event, and it seems like it always has a good turnout. So we'd love to see you all out there, all of our listeners. Another activity that you have planned to get outside of the museum walls is the evening with Lafayette at the Ruins down at Rosewell, and that's on October 22nd. Can you tell us a little bit about what that entails?
Absolutely, Quentin. That's something I'm really excited about. This is an evening down at the Rosewell Ruins. One thing we've been really trying hard to do at the museum is to work with our local partners. We have wonderful museums in this community and wonderful historical institutions: Fairfield Foundation, Rosewell Foundation, Woodville Rosenwald School Foundation, Buck Rose Store Museum down in Guinea, and the Guinea Heritage folks. We just have some wonderful partners to work with. This event, the Lafayette event on October 22nd is an example of a partnership with Rosewell Foundation. It is a ticketed event, and the idea is to raise money for the Rosewell Foundation and the Friends of the Museum. A lot of folks don't realize, but the Museum of History, we have a nonprofit that supports us, and they are known as the Friends of the Museum. So this event on the 22nd will include historical interpreters. We're actually going to have the same gentleman I mentioned earlier, Mark Schneider, will be here as Lafayette on the 22nd, and we'll present a program. We will have other living historians, fifers and drummers, colonial musicians. It's just going to be a really great afternoon. It's from 4 to 6:30 p.m. We're working with some other partners, Kelsic Market. They're providing our catered French orders. Gloucester Brewing Company will be there with refreshments, as will Zoll Vineyards. So we're really trying to work with our local community and our wonderful businesses. And the idea is that this is a living history dining experience. There's going to be a large tent set up, again, musicians and interpreters. And it's really being billed as an education event. It's going to be a fun education event. So you can, you know, enjoy good food and drink. And at the same time, you're supporting two worthwhile foundations, the Friends of the Museum and the Rosewell Foundation. And again, back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, this is just an effort to kind of expand the museum's reach into the community, doing something different. And one thing that I find, or one thing I believe is just so important, is we have to find ways to make history engaging. And I think when we can, you know, when we can host special events in the afternoon or evening, and we can incorporate, you know, thematically incorporate food and drink and local businesses and history, and it just becomes a memorable experience where families and adults can think, you know, hey, I participated in something, I learned something, and I am supporting a good cause that's, you know, going to allow these institutions to do more educational programming. All the proceeds from this event will be split 50-50 between Rosewell and the Friends of the Museum. And both of our organizations have committed that the proceeds will go to fund future education programming at our two institutions. So it's going to be a great event, October 22nd, 4 to 6:30 p.m., food and drink and historical interpreters. You'll see more information because we will be selling tickets in mid-September at $75 a piece. The last thing I'll say about the program is we've had a wonderful response from our local community of folks who are willing and looking forward to sponsoring this event, and all that. We will be talking about all that a little bit later this month. Just an exciting program.
Great. And just a reminder to our listeners, we'll be, you know, including information on as far as links and information to access these events in the description of this podcast. Robert, you know, you've talked about some of the upcoming things, but those aren't the only things that you've been doing outside the museum walls. You know, throughout the year, you host various other camps, especially one of the ones that comes to mind is the Explore Virginia History Camp and Civil War camps that you hold during the summer, which, from what I understand, have been extremely popular for the young people in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife's a first grade teacher, and my mom was a teacher, and one way that I became so passionate about history was my parents took me to historic sites all over the place. Every weekend was a different battlefield, it seemed like, and it was just wonderful. So we here at the museum, we decided that you know, camps both during the summer and actually during the winter break, the week between Christmas and New Year's, that these would be wonderful times to develop a program, a day camp where we could have students not only experience our museum here and our local sites, but what I was really excited about was to actually take some of our students to other sites in the community and the region. I think I'll just share a quick story from our winter break camp we held last year. One of the days we took the students to Yorktown. We did the wonderful museum there, the Jamestown Yorktown found run by the Jamestown Yorktown Foundation, the wonderful museum in Yorktown. And then that afternoon, we went out to the battlefield. We visited Redoubts 9 and 10 and the French cemetery that is on the battlefield. And, you know, when we were walking around the battlefield, got a lot of great questions from my fourth and fifth graders. But at the end of the day, I asked all the students, and there were 10 of them there. I said, "How many of you all have been to the battlefield before?" And only one of the students raised their hand.
Wow.
So, you know, this to me just, you know, was proof that this is something we needed to do. And just to see, you know, to see how to see these students go to the museum and then to actually walk in the battlefield and ask questions like, "This is where the Battle of Yorktown actually took place?" And of course, the other question that kids often ask, "This is where people died, you know?" And again, you know, when you can answer those questions and say, "Yes, this is where it actually happened," and you're walking, you know, you're walking on sacred ground, and you're stepping on the same, you know, on the same grass and dirt that these heroes from the past stood, that really brings history to life, and that makes things memorable for these kids. And you know, the hope is that it may inspire you know, additional curiosity about the past. And that's why we do these camps, and it's so much fun to kind of see the light bulbs go off with these students. And the other thing I'll share, Quentin, is nothing makes me happier when, you know, when after the camp, you know, I'm here at the museum, and one of these campers, you know, brings their family to the museum because they want to share the experience they had at the museum with their family. And that happens quite often. And that's just a really, really wonderful feeling to welcome the kids back to the museum with their family. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why, you know, that's why museums are here, and that's why we're in the education business. It's exciting stuff.
That's awesome to hear. And Robert, just want to say, great job. We're grateful that you're here and so engaged in the community and engaged in making history come alive for young people and adults the same. So we really encourage you to swing by the museum, talk to Robert or one of his amazing volunteers or interns. The museum's located at 6539 Main Street. Right next to the Colonial Court Circle. So you really can't miss it. It's in the old Body Top building. And again, the hours for the museum are Mondays through Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The museum is closed on Sundays and on holidays. Robert, thank you again for joining us today. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I just want to thank you, Quentin, for the opportunity, and just you know, once again say that there's a lot of good stuff going on at the museum, a lot of new exhibits, a lot of new programming. And you know, if it's been a while since you've visited the museum, or if you've never been here before, definitely drop by. I think you'll see a lot of new things that you've never seen before. And just keep an eye on what's going on. There's going to be a lot of exciting programming's upcoming. We're going to be doing some new exhibits in December. We're also getting ready to start a project to kind of reimagine the second floor of the museum with some new exhibits. So just an exciting time to be a part of the museum. And again, I thank you for this opportunity. And I really want to thank the members of the community and our volunteers and all those that support and do come to our museum and come to our events. It's really important that the community continue to support the museum and continue to support what we're doing. So it's been wonderful being with you, and I hope to see a lot of folks soon. And it's an exciting time to be part of the museum.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the museum and at some of these events that are coming up. Again, just a quick recap. September 10th, the new museum exhibit launches with the talking about the Girl Scout camp at Burke's Mill Pond, and it celebrates 50 years. Then on October 1st and 2nd is the Big Fire, Smokes, and Muskets event around the museum and court circle. And then on October 22nd is an evening with Lafayette at the Ruins, which will be located down at Rosewell. Robert, thanks again, and we hope everybody has a safe month, and we'll look forward to joining with you again next month.
Y'all take care.